Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rutland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the Boston Red Sox are once again American League Eastern Division champs. John Farrell becomes the first ever Red Sox manager with three division titles under his belt. And Boston has a date with the same Houston Astros for much bigger stakes Thursday to begin the American League Division Series at Minute Maid Park.
And the season goes on, Murray. Season goes on, Jimmy Stewart. Red Sox, American League East champions. They clinch it with a victory over the Houston Astros on Saturday at Fenway Park. Finally, the team that makes life difficult on itself, makes life hard on itself, wraps up the American League East with a victory over the Astros. 617-779-0985. Let's open up the phone lines right away. And I got a couple of big picture questions for you. Well, actually, one big picture question. The other one pertains to David Price, who is rapidly developing as a sensational story with this team. Boy, is Price a good story right now. The question is, well, I'll get to the question. But first, just a reminder, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out. Check them out at jacksonlumber.com. Again, 617-779-0985. The Red Sox are American League East champions for only the first time in their history. You believe that? First time in their history they have won consecutive division titles. Now look, way back when, in the teens, the early 20th century, the Red Sox won consecutive World Series, but there were not divisions back then. There was pre-divisional play. Since the advent of divisional play, the Red Sox have never won consecutive division titles. Until now. And David Price, incredibly, is now in the middle of this thing and looks like an absolute force, potentially, in the postseason. Okay, so here's where I want to begin tonight, Jim Murray, and I want to get everyone's assessment on these two particular issues. I'll ask you the Price question first. You too, Jimmy Stewart. I want to get your answers, and then I'm going to ask you a bigger picture question as it pertains to the Red Sox overall.
All right.
Okay? Would you agree that Price, first of all, can we agree that Price has been fabulous since he went to the bullpen?
Without question.
Okay,
yes.
Particularly in the last week, right? Those appearances over the weekend or at the end of last week, phenomenal. Do you think he'll continue on that path?
I do. I think there's less pressure on him coming out of the bullpen, and I think he's embraced it. So, yeah, I think this is actually going to work out for him, and he can be used as an Andrew Miller-type weapon in the postseason.
Jimmy, do you trust him?
Nope, not at all. Once a playoff choker, always a playoff choker.
Okay, so this is really the thing now with Price, because the performance here in the postseason has been incredible, and I'll give you the numbers in the five games. Price has made five appearances, and remember, the first three of those came with substantial rest. He pitched on, if I'm going to get this right, the 17th, the 22nd, and the 27th of September. He had 4 days off after his first relief appearance and then 4 days off after his second relief appearance. But the end of last week, he pitched on the 27th, 29th, and 30th. Overall, in the five appearances, David Price, 8 2/3 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 walks, no runs, 13 strikeouts. The batting average against him, 100. The OPS against him, 256. 256. All 3 hits that Price has given up, by the way, in relief, singles. He's not given up an extra base hit since he joined the bullpen. And so now the question is, what do the Red Sox have here? How good can this guy be, really? And the appearance on Saturday, 5-2 game, first and second, nobody out. The Astros are threatening to kind of get back in the game. Price comes in and caught a break on the first play. The ball deflected off the first baseman's glove, popped right in the air, and Brock Holt fielded it and threw to Price, who was covering the bag. Now, if you remember, early in the year, there was a play where Price didn't cover first. Right? Do you remember that,
yeah,
Murray?
Yeah.
And Eckersley got on him for it, and to me, it you know, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but it was some indication of where Price's overall head and heart was. He just, you know, I'm not sure he really wanted to be on the mound. But now, watching him strike out two batters to get off the mound in the eighth inning on Saturday, pitching with the kind of velocity that he is pitching with, let alone the command, Price looks to me like he is embracing the role. And if he pitches like he pitched Saturday, like he pitched Friday night, like he pitched Wednesday night when he hit 98 on the gun, he could be a force in the postseason. He could be a force. I mean, and it looks like the crowd is embracing him.
Oh, they definitely are.
As much as he's embracing the opportunity, I think the Red Sox fans, who were really on him in the middle of the year, and rightfully so, now are behind this guy, and I think Price loves that. And I maybe he's learned a lesson in this thing. Just go out there and throw guns blazing, throw caution to the wind, and they'll get behind you. So maybe he's learned some sort of lesson there. But if he is that in the postseason, then John Farrell is going to be tempted to use him in an array of situations. And I personally have already—I can already tell you—I'm going to find myself saying on Thursday, let's say it's a 2-1 game, Verlander and Sale. You're ahead 2-1. Sale gets into a little bit of a jam with one out in the seventh, one out in the eighth, two outs in the seventh, couple of guys on. I'm going to be saying, get Price in there. Get Price in, put him in. You need a strikeout, get Price. I'm already convinced. I've already resigned myself to the fact, Murray, that this guy could now be a force. And then what if he goes out and craps himself again?
Oh, glorious.
But the point is, either way, there's a great story
right
there.
In terms of the theater, there's really no lose.
Right, there's an absolutely great story there with David Price in the postseason. And honestly, I'm rooting for him. I think it'd be a hell of a story if this guy comes out and has a good October. Because, boy, he was money last week. He really was. He was dynamite. The question is, as a fan, do you believe in Price now? And are you rooting for him or against him? Like, honestly, I'm rooting for him. I think it's a hell of a story. 617-779-0985 is your number. When we come back, I'm going to ask the big picture question, too, which concerns how much the Red Sox have really accomplished or achieved here in the at the end of this regular season. They had quite a celebration over there at Fenway on Saturday. I'm not sure how much they really should have, though. We'll get to that in just a bit.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Support for this podcast comes from UCSF Medical Center. U.S. News and World Report has recognized UCSF Medical Center as the best hospital in California for neurology and neurosurgery, cancer, orthopedics, kidney care, diabetes and endocrinology, lung and respiratory care. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And there's ball four to Tyler White. So the pinch hitter draws a walk. And the plot thickens now as George Springer is the batter.
And the rain thickens.
Yeah, the weather's getting worse. The bullpen is warm. Addison Reed was up really exactly at the same moment that David Price came into the ballgame. And it looks like John Farrell is not going to push it with Price working in back-to-back games. So the fourth Boston pitcher of the inning may or may not be on his way into the ballgame. No move has been made yet. John, you can see John saying no, no, no. He has not made a move. Reed's already coming into the game. And John Farrell shaking his head. As soon as he saw that, he was trying to call it off. And then Addison Reed just did a U-turn. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Price is on the mound. George Springer is coming up, and Price has gotten the two outs in the inning. Okay, he had just walked the previous batter, though. So I think this loaded the bases again, if I remember this right.
It did.
Right? It loaded up the bases again. It's a 5-2 game, and George Springer's coming up to the plate. Springer bats right-handed. Price throws left-handed. Addison Reed is in the bullpen. So now, just if you're on the line, just hang on. I'm going to get to your calls here in 1 second. Okay, but I think it's important to really illustrate this situation. Righty at the plate. Price is on the mound. He's left-handed. You get Addison Reed in the bullpen, who's right-handed. You acquired Addison Reed for these big moments. Do you remember that when he came here, John Farrell said, well, sometimes we might use him in the seventh, sometimes we might use him in the eighth. Now, granted, they didn't know what Price was going to be yet.
He also referred to him as closer B.
Okay, but Reed was the guy.
Right.
Reed was absolutely the guy they were going to go to in a lot of the big spots. So now you've got righty on righty if you bring Reed in. And Reed's slider, devastating to right-handed batters. Tough on lefties, too.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
So there you go. He's the guy. Farrell comes out of the dugout. Everyone assumes his pitching change because there had not been a mound visit yet with Price on the mound. But Farrell never raises his hand to call Reed into the game. Reed starts to jog in, and Farrell says, no, I didn't make a change. Send him back. So they send him back to the bullpen. He goes out and talks to Price. Price then faces Springer, strikes him out. Fastball inside the final pitch. And then lets out this primal scream as he's coming off the mound, where you look at Price and you say, ooh, that's like Chris Sale kind of intensity. Where did that come from? I mean, that was some good stuff with Price. So, Murray, let me ask you quickly. Big at bat, same situation in the playoffs. You let Price stay or do you bring in Reed?
No, you let Price stay. I think you gotta trust him in this situation. If you're going to put him in that situation, you got to trust him in that situation and leave him there.
So now this is the kind of stuff that Farrell is going to be faced with here, right? And it's going to make for a fascinating, discussion and postseason potentially. If you've got Price throwing well with Reed behind him and just all kinds of scenarios and situations to really think out. But with the way David Price is throwing the ball right now, if this carries over and if he doesn't melt in the playoffs, he could be a factor out there. Don't kid yourself on that, because he's throwing the absolute snot out of the ball. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Tony, thank you in advance. I'll ask the question and then take the answer off air. I guess there's two attributes. Is John, and this is a question, John Farrell is, I think you and every other commentator has pointed out, is not the best in-game manager. Just proof positive, you know, bringing someone out and then all of a sudden sending them back in. Communication's not the best. Maybe not necessarily putting a lot of the stuff together on the field at the time. But to your point, as you made earlier, you've seen a renaissance in David Price. How much of this can be hung on John Farrell from the standpoint of he's been able to, you know, essentially create now a very dynamic bullpen? I don't know if you consider it that. I might. But with that being said, I will take the answer off air and thank you again. Bye-bye.
Okay, so look, I think there is the chance now that they do have a dynamic bullpen. I mean, when you really weigh it out, boy, what an X factor Price is out there if this is really what happens. You know, you will have Reed out there to get big outs for you. Kimbrel, who if it really comes, push comes to shove, they'll use Kimbrel for more than an inning if they have to. Let's say you get into some sort of extra inning games. You'll let Kimbrel go 2 innings now in the postseason, I would think. I mean, now all bets are off. All the rules go out the window. You've got all these off days in the postseason. Game off, a day off, rather, after game 2. Another day off after game 4. So you're playing 5 games, but you're playing them in, 7 days? Like, for baseball, that's a soft schedule. That is a really soft schedule. And you got plenty of days off going into game 1. It really does set up for the Red Sox to have a dominating bullpen. And yes, I think their bullpen could be dynamic. I told you, I wanted Matt Barnes out of the mix there in the 7th and 8th, and I wanted Joe Kelly out of the mix in the 7th and 8th, and now you have that, assuming Price is what he was at the end of last week. So do I give Farrell credit for it? My answer to that still is no. And I'll tell you why. I go back to this Washington Post story last week where Price said, and I remember who wrote the story, whether it was Dave Shinen or it was Dave Shinen, who's covered baseball for a long time. Price said of his injury, I've dealt with it, I've gotten through it. Most people would have been at the house months ago. I didn't pack it in. Does it feel good? No. I still pitched. If people don't appreciate that or can't, so be it. So Price said as recently as a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, that his elbow still doesn't feel great. Yet he's throwing the absolute crap out of the ball. Absolute throwing bullets. Hard to look at him right now and think he's not healthy. Interesting observation here by Dan, who's in a car. Dan, what do you got?
Tony, two quick thoughts. One, he seems to be working faster out of the bullpen, which might be a sign to his confidence he has, which leads me to point number two. I think he realizes that he's filling a hole in that bullpen. And if he can be effective filling that hole, he can be a hero for Boston. And David Price wants to be a hero for Boston.
Okay,
so I think this can work out quite well.
So, Dan, before you go, let me just ask you a question. What do you think the biggest obstacle for Price has been in his postseason career?
I think it's the pressure that he's got to go out there for five, six, seven innings and give up less than three runs, and he folds under it. So now all he has to do is go out for four or five outs, just be consistent. And again, he's working faster, so I think it's getting to his head less. He's focusing on the game better, and he's more effective.
And you think that him working faster is an indication of his confidence?
I do, yes, absolutely.
Okay. And you know what, Dan? I agree with you. I agree with you. And when I said what's the biggest obstacle with Price in the postseason, you know what I think it is? His mentality, his head, what's between his ears. That is the only thing that has ever prevented David Price from being dominant in the postseason. And now in these short bursts, you know what he does out there on the mound? He relies on his stuff. He doesn't overthink it. He doesn't sit there and go, well, I got to get seven innings out of this, so I need to get my cutter. I got to get my changeup. Nope. He's going out there and he's going guns blazing, firing fastballs at 98 miles an hour on the inside corner and saying, I'm only going to be here for an inning or two. So you know what? I'm airing it out. If you can't hit this, that's your problem. I think his whole mentality looks different on the mound. So we asked this question on the afternoon show. Murray, let me ask it to you quickly. Do you think that Price's chances of succeeding in the postseason are better as a reliever, and why?
Well, they're totally better as a reliever. I think the pressure is off. He comes in, and he's coming into someone else's mess if he's coming into in a game that's already unraveled. Like you said, I think if he's a starter, he's got more time to think about it. When he's on the mound, he's not coming out of the stretch. It's, you know, the deep breaths, the picking at the uniform, the stare, then deciding to throw the ball. I think he gets too caught up in his own head when he's a starter. With this, at least the other thing, too, his only postseason success in terms of wins, it's come when he's coming out of the bullpen. So he can always rely on that, too. I trust him so much more coming out of the bullpen as I do a starter.
I'm telling you, just watch the guy. Forget the results. Don't look at the numbers. Watch him on the mound. Tell me whether he looks like the same pitcher to you.
No, not at all.
He doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't. He looks like a completely different guy now. And so if you're a fan, here's what I would ask you. Are you behind this guy now? Because you hated him 2 months ago. Oh, you hated him. You did. You hated him. That whole thing with Eckersley on the plane, they belittled Dennis Eckersley. They humiliated Dennis Eckersley. He bullied him. But are you behind him now? Because you know what? Incredibly, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, I am. I think this guy could be a force. I think he could be, if he can get out of his own way. And I'm not telling you he's going to be. He's always had the ability to be a force in the playoffs, in any game. The guy's ability is that good. But he gets in his own way. So I don't know, now maybe some sort of light went off when switch went off. And maybe you're going to get Price's best this October. And what a story. One way or another, that is going to be a fabulous story. And absolutely, positively great entertainment. Tremendous stuff happening with David Price right now. Tremendous. As for the Red Sox on the whole, and by the way, I want to tell you what we have planned for you for the week here on the Baseball Reporters leading up to the postseason and then throughout the playoffs as long as the Red Sox are playing. We'll do that in the next segment. But I also want to ask you this question. What's your grade for the Red Sox for the regular season? I want you to give me a grade. And a letter grade. Now, I don't want to just hear, good, pretty good. I want you to give me a letter grade for the Red Sox for the regular season. I asked Murray and Jimmy Stewart to give this some thought. I gave it some thought on the way in today because my answer might be different from yours. We'll get to that. after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Support for this podcast comes from UCSF Medical Center. UCSF Medical Center is ranked the number one hospital in California by U.S. News and World Report. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
The one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We felt like last year was an important year for our young core group of players to get that postseason taste. We know that we finished out this month of September. We're a little banged up, but we're champs. And I think they being that young core now has, they've got a point of reference, firsthand experience in the postseason, and some of the newness hopefully is worn off or it's behind them. It says a lot about the players that have been drafted, signed, developed, acquired. This is a really good group.
The only part of that I get really uneasy about is they're champs. They're division winners. These young guys in the Red Sox were division winners last year. They're not champions yet. The question is now whether they can become that. And so as much as David Price has huge stakes this postseason, think of what these young guys have too. And again, we're going to talk about a lot of this during the week. The stakes for these young players. We're going to check in with people in Houston to give us a lowdown on the Astros. We're going to check in with people in Boston to sort of give the latest temperature on the Red Sox. We'll monitor the Red Sox roster decisions heading into the postseason. All of this leading into the game on Thursday, and we'll continue to talk baseball in this hour so long as the Red Sox are playing games. That is what we have done every year. That's what we'll continue to do here at the Sports Hub. So long as the Red Sox are playing, this program will be on the air from 6 to 7 p.m., pending other programming commitments like games and what have you. So Thursday night, obviously there's a Patriots game. You get the idea, okay? 617-779-0985. But these young guys, Betts, Bogarts, Bradley, Benintendi, they've all got stuff to prove. Eduardo Nunez, you want him on the roster or not? Because it looks to me like he can't run. And how valuable is he if he doesn't run? So this is all stuff we'll be talking about here during the week. Stevens and Malden. Steven, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, Tony, sorry about your loss. And that wasn't real quick, by the way. No, I was just going to say, an interesting side story or a sub-note. Do you remember a pitcher from Oakland that ended up coming to the Red Sox? They couldn't stretch him out as a starter. Ended up becoming an amazing reliever, IA closer. His name was Eckersley. Wouldn't that kind of be interesting, sort of a dynamic to this whole thing as it unfolds? I mean, well, certainly to some of us. But
so, Stephen, look, in the short term, it's similar, but for Eck, it was a career change. I mean, it was, and he was an alcoholic. His career had gone in the toilet, and it happened years after he left Boston. So if you want to say this is a microcosm of that, sure. Yes. But David Price, I think, is going to go back to being a starting pitcher next year, assuming he's healthy. I don't think the Red Sox are keeping him in the bullpen. This is sort of a one-off kind of thing. Like, we don't know how many bullets he has. We'll see how it goes. And I'm still not convinced he's going to bypass surgery during the offseason. I have no idea what's coming there. But I asked a question before we went to break, too. Give the Red Sox a grade for the regular season. Regular season only. Give them a grade. Jimmy Stewart, let's have Murray go first because Jimmy's going to be low.
I give them a B. Not a B+, not a B-, but a straight B. And, look, they dealt with injuries, poor managerial decisions, bad base running, things that wanted to make you pull your hair out time and again, inconsistent offense, down years for Mookie Betts, Hanley Ramirez, Bogarts. But despite all that mess, they won the division, and they did it behind their two best attributes, balls in a bullpen, good years from guys like Sale and Pomeranz, and I can't go any lower than that. A B. They were a B.
Jimmy Stewart?
I give them an A-.
Wow. You're kidding.
They repeated as American League East champions, and despite all of their flaws, their biggest one being their low output in home runs and offense, they did their job. They were supposed to win the American League East and be in the playoffs. So I just knocked them for their offense being down.
You've been working too much on the afternoon show. The lead host is starting to rub off on you, Jimmy. You're going
A-, but they're getting swept.
You're a contrarian now. That's what you're doing. They don't deserve an A-. They did not have an A- regular season.
Okay.
I'm more with Murray.
All right, fine. F.
B.
F them all.
B. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It wasn't great. What was the over-under on wins for the Red Sox starting the year? Do you guys remember?
92.5.
Well, how many did they finish with?
93.
I mean, Vegas almost nailed it right on the nose.
I actually did nail it.
They were easily the best team in the division. They should have won the division. They did, and they came in right where they were projected. Now, how they got there wasn't exactly what we were looking for. They were 21-21 after 42 games. Price got hurt. The offense wasn't that good. Blah, 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 blah. And the bullpen was a hell of a lot better than anyone knew. But to me, this is a pretty good regular season. Everything about this team is about October. Everything. To me, it has been since the beginning of the year. If they didn't make the playoffs, think of what an epic fail that would have been. Huge. Massive fail. As it is, they're probably the third best team in the American League. But in the playoffs, that really doesn't matter. All you have to do is play the best. And we know they weren't the best team in the league in 2013. Detroit was. Is it Rafi in Vermont?
Yes, Tony. How are you, brother?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, I'm going to go just that's me. Nobody else is saying it. Mr. Price going to start game three in Boston, period. That kid is a starter. We're going to be down by two games, and just like in Moneyball, they're going to come down the clubhouse, and they're going to look at that body and say, who's starting tonight? Oh, such and such. No. The Price is starting.
Okay, is it, so I forgive me if you said it already. Is it Rafi?
Yeah, Rafi from Vermont.
Okay, so Rafi. I thought that up until the weekend, then they used him three times in 4 days. He's going to come out of the bullpen. And you know what? He's more valuable to them out of the bullpen. Incredibly, that is true. Frank's in Marshfield. Frank, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, talking about David Price. Nothing better than October baseball in Boston. And it's all about results. You got to believe that everybody's going to be behind David Price. You know what I mean? If he, like you said, it's going to be a huge story either way. October baseball's made legendary heroes and legendary goats in this town, and it's going to be awesome either way. We'll be saying probably David bleeping Price, you know, whether he gets shelled or whether he shuts him down. But I think most people are going to be, certainly at Fenway Park, they're going to be rocking and rolling for him if he's doing good.
Okay, so, well, look, if he's doing well, I don't think there's any question. I just wondered whether how many people really do still resent him over the Eckersley thing. That's all. And all of it, is it all gone away now? Because I've always felt this way. Get me to the playoffs, and if the guy produces, that's really all I care about, especially when you invest what the Red Sox have invested in their team. It's about October this year. It's always been about October. They got to October last year and fell on their faces. Now they're back. In theory, they should be better for it. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.